On Friday, December 13th, signatures are due for petitioners who are hoping to reintroduce wolves to our state. Wolves were last known to be living in Colorado in the 1940s. If they get enough signatures, the question will be posed to Colorado voters during the 2020 election.
Here to explain the debate is Allie Budner, who's been following the issue. She's a reporter for the Mountain West News Bureau and is based out of KRCC in Colorado Springs. Allie, welcome to Colorado Edition.
Thank you so much for having me.
So if this measure were to get enough signatures and then subsequently pass in 2020, what would happen? What exactly would we see?
You wouldn't all of a sudden see gray wolves roaming the mountains of Colorado immediately. It would basically set a process in motion that would be working towards reintroducing gray wolves specifically to public lands in the mountains of western Colorado. And it's unclear how many wolves would be reintroduced, but one of the biologists, Mike Phillips, who happens to actually be a Montana state senator that I spoke with in my reporting, told me he thinks it would probably take about 45 relocated wolves over the period of about 3 years to establish a viable population. He's actually one of the people who helped orchestrate a reintroduction of gray wolves to Yellowstone back in the mid-90s. And I think another important thing to note about this measure is that the language actually says that Colorado Parks and Wildlife would have to use the best scientific data available. They would have to hold public hearings about the impacts of reintroduction from a wide range of, you know, scientific, economic, and social impacts. And they would also have to provide basically a method for resolving any financial losses that the reintroduction of these wolves, these predators, would cause for ranchers specifically. And then they say, as far as timing, that they would aim to actually start the actual reintroduction by about 2023.
What is the downside of reintroducing wolves?
This is a very controversial issue. A lot of it has to do with this urban-rural divide in Colorado. So I would say one of the main groups that are against reintroducing gray wolves to the state are hunters. So the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is one of the groups that has made a stand against it. But their argument is that wolves prey on elk and deer, and that that would leave fewer animals for the hunters in the state, and that hunting is a big economy in Colorado. It draws a lot of people from out of state, from in state, that could take a big hit. And then in addition to that, there are plenty of livestock ranchers, another sector of our economy, that they're also against it, mostly because they're concerned about wolves killing their livestock, especially the smaller ones like lambs and calves, when they're out on pasture. And some of them pasture out on public lands, and these might dovetail with the lands where wolves could be reintroduced. And what's really at the crux of it for them, too, is that they believe that this isn't a decision that should be made by voters. And they just say it's really dangerous for primarily Front Range urban dwellers in Colorado, because that's where the density of population and voters are, who might have a romantic notion of wolves in the wilderness but won't actually have to deal with them on a day-to-day basis, that these are the people who will be ultimately making this decision. So that's kind of their argument on that.
Is there an upside in any of this?
Absolutely. So the people who are promoting this measure, who come from various conservation groups, wildlife groups, some wolf biologists, they say that in addition to just saying that wolves belong on our landscape, they actually say that they would improve the landscape by essentially bringing more into balance the predator-prey relationship. You know, they say we have tons of deer and elk roaming our public lands in the state, and that reintroducing a small number of these top-level predators would actually keep the numbers of ungulates, that's the word for animals like deer and elk, keep them in check, and that in turn would create less pressure on the entire ecosystem, less pressure on the soil, on the grasses, on the watershed, on everything that's sort of underneath those deer and elk, so that would benefit the entire ecosystem. And they say that this brings everything into balance. And they point to Yellowstone as an example, you know, where wolves had been reintroduced, and say, you know, look, this ecology is working a lot better now that wolves live on that landscape. The last point is that there are wolf and wildlife enthusiasts who feel that this animal just has a right to live where it used to live, that plenty of Coloradans value the wildness of Colorado's mountain landscapes, and really feel that the presence of gray wolves fills that picture out and that they just belong here as part of a holistic ecosystem.
Allie Budner is a reporter for the Mountain West News Bureau based out of KRCC. Allie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Signatures for the petition to get the question about reintroducing wolves to our state on the 2020 ballot are due to the Secretary of State's office on Friday, December 13th. Should it make it onto the ballot and Colorado voters decide to bring them back, it actually wouldn't be the first time an animal has gone through the reintroduction process.
We're going to hear now about an example of a successful reintroduction, that of lynxes, specifically the Canada lynx, which were brought to Colorado in 1999. Here to explain what happened and what we can learn from that is Eric O'Dell. He is Species Conservation Program Manager for Colorado Parks and Wildlife. Eric, welcome to Colorado Edition.
Thanks for having me.
Start off by describing lynx for us. What do they look like? Where do they usually live?
Canada lynx are a native cat. They're a wild cat that lives up in the mountains, in the forests of the higher elevations in Colorado, about 8,000 feet and higher. They have a primary prey is snowshoe hares, what they really rely on. And they've got a real short bob tail and then these really, really big feet that allow them to travel over the deep snow in the wintertime.
Ah, like little snowshoes.
That's right.
So why did the state decide to reintroduce them?
So Colorado Parks and Wildlife has many different kinds of responsibilities. We manage many of the game species, but we also have a real sincere interest in conserving the native wildlife and restoring populations of species that have gone extinct. And so the Canada lynx was a really good candidate for this because Colorado was native habitat, historical habitat. They used to be here. Trapping records indicate that. And we have the responsibility to restore and maintain these species as well. And so in the early to mid-90s, a couple of land management agencies in Colorado Division of Wildlife at the time, now Parks and Wildlife, put together a plan to think about what it would take to restore both lynx and wolverine to the state. And for a variety of reasons, we just pursued the lynx reintroduction beginning in 1999.
So the state didn't control for acclimatization, so the initial reintroduction didn't go as well as was hoped for. Can you just describe what that means and what the solution to this was?
In the first years that we began the reintroduction, the animals were brought from Canada and Alaska, flown in crates to DIA. They were picked up in DIA and driven down to the southwest part of the state and released as quickly as possible in a matter of days. Many of those animals didn't survive very long through their first year, and there was a lot of mortality. So we reviewed our protocols, and what we found to be the most productive way was to keep the animals at a facility where they were fed and got into good body condition. They were minimized the amount of human contact and that kind of stuff, but it got them over the trauma of traveling and going through the airports and all of that, and allowed them time to get into a state where they would be able to hunt on their own and survive. You know, many of the first animals died of starvation. We don't know exactly why, but likely because they had gone through so much so quickly, and this allowed them some time to settle a little bit and to be able to survive in the wild.
What can we learn from this example when it comes to other reintroductions?
There's a lot of different kinds of species that Parks and Wildlife has done reintroductions over the past several years, past several decades. And every species is different because they have just different ecology, different needs. How each of those projects happens is just very, very different. So, you know, I think the thing to learn is to be adaptable and to learn if you're running into problems, try to figure out what those problems are and what you might be able to do to work around that.
Do we know what the population of the lynx is now in Colorado?
Getting to a really precise population estimate is just difficult because of where they live. It's just really challenging and expensive to try to make an effort to count the number of animals, but we estimate it to be somewhere between 150 and 250 animals. We're not following individual lynx with collars or anything, but the way that we're monitoring the animals now is using trail cameras and doing some snow tracking on skis and snowmobiles in the winter times.
This example with the Canada lynx is considered a success. How do you measure if something like this is successful?
It is important to have goals when you're taking on a project like this. How do you know when you've achieved goals? And we set out some benchmarks at the very beginning. And primarily it was to say, when do we know that the lynx population is stable in Colorado and doesn't need our help, doesn't need direct management actions? And that generally is when lynx are staying in good habitat. They're not scattering to the wind as soon as they're released. they're finding mates and reproducing, and so there's another generation. Mm-hmm. And then overall, the survival is just greater than the mortality, you know, essentially that the animals are staying on the landscape, and at least the population level is stable, if not increasing.
Eric Odell is Species Conservation Program Manager for Colorado Parks and Wildlife. Eric, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for your interest.